When I think of two things, and then I have a few other things to say to you, we'll not be long tonight, but I rethinking of those soldier boys folding the flags. How many have ever been to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier? I remember the time, probably it had only happened once, and Marilyn and I were there, when because of what we did, there was a change of the guard. When the soldier was marching across, a button had popped off his uniform and fell to the ground. And we thought we should let them know, so we went to the place where the guards were to be and immediately changed the guard because they wanted no imperfection in the way they looked. And I thought, that's America. At one time, we don't want imperfections. We want to do it right. Also, those of us who were in our 70s, remember as children, probably the end of World War II. I can remember the end as a six-year-old young boy. I can remember when the boys were coming home. And I remember back in those days, if you had funerals, you had them in your home. And I can remember my Uncle Charles' casket in the living room of our little home. And I can remember so well when I pulled on Mama's dress and said, "Mama, who's in there?" And she said, "Your Uncle Charlie, he was killed in the war. And they brought his body home. He was killed in Anzio." And that made such an impression on me because I knew that as I grew older that I am free today because of people like my Uncle Charlie who gave his life. And I want to say to those of you who served in our military, I've done this one other time and I do it tonight. If you've served in our military, would you stand up for just a moment all over? I'd appreciate it so very much. And I think it would be fitting, again, once more, that we all say thank you by giving them a round of applause. Very seldom do I, thank you, you may be seated, see a serviceman in uniform, but that I do not walk up to him and thank him for serving so that we could be free. I don't know how many meals in a Chick-fil-A or other restaurants I have bought for the military because I want them to know that we care. And I'm free today because so many lives have been shed. I want to take just a few moments tonight, and I want you to take your Bible, and I want to just give you some thoughts tonight, and I want you to turn, first of all, to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. And I'm just going to read some verses to you tonight and have some other comments. Will not be long. But here we find in verse 34 of chapter 14 of Proverbs, righteousness, would you underline these verses if you have it in your Bible? Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I'm afraid that I've seen a change in our country, and I hope that you have seen that change also. In the last 4 or 5 years, I've seen a change. It's not the America that I once knew. And that is heartbreaking to those of us who love our nation. Even when a president, I had not heard those comments that he made. No, we cannot forget the past. Because America is founded upon the past as a great nation. I believe God has blessed two nations extremely miraculously, obviously Israel and the United States. And I believe that one reason why Israel or America is blessed is because we have protected that nation. And now we're turning our backs on it. And we're turning our backs upon God and upon righteousness. I was talking to Andrew Hemingway from New Hampshire, was kidding about being a very liberal state. We have liberals here as well. That in that state, if a child wants to go on an outing, he has to get permission from his parents. That same child can have an abortion without the parents' consent. We have called right, righteous wrong, and wrong right in our country. What a terrible price we're going to pay for that if we keep going. I think also in chapter 33 of the book of Psalms, if you wish to turn there with me, in verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." What a great verse as well. I give it to you again. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And our nation was founded upon the principles of God's Word. It's amazing to me how our government officials seems to, and they have literally annihilated in their thinking process where America came from. Just totally have removed it from their thinking process. And we have changed the history books to go along with that. It was Martin Luther who said these words, "I'm afraid much that schools will prove," I'll try it again, "I'm afraid that schools will prove to be the great gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures and engraving them in the hearts of our youth." What a statement. And our schools now have turned in literally a living hell because we have removed the God of the Bible. I have at home every year when I was pastoring there at Northside Baptist Church, and for 20 years I carried that little New Testament with me that I received in 1948. And when I was in elementary school, when the Gideons would come in and give those Bibles out, and I remember that Bible, still precious to me today. I have two of them. I have one that was my name on it and one my brother Bobby, who ended his own life in a tragic way. I have those two Bibles, and I always bring it and to that exercise because we always tell those young people how thankful they ought to be in a school where we still can wave the Bible and wave the flag, and we can say, "One nation, where? Under God." And I thank Dwight D. Eisenhower, who back in the 50s put that in our pledge so that we would say that. In the book of Psalm, chapter 9, we find these words in verse 20 of chapter 9. "But put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men." What a verse. Let me read it to you again. "Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be just simply men." I think we have come to the place where we think we're God in our country. Verse 4 of chapter 10 says, "The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts." How that is a picture of our nation today, leaders, where God is not in the thoughts of our leaders today. And I go to chapter 11 of the same book in verse 3. I've underlined these words, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" That's a good verse, isn't it? And the foundations. Have we thought for a moment or two as we just give you some thoughts today and maybe some things that we've all forgot about? For example, when Christopher Columbus, and I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, and turning there to chapter 40, if you will, please, the Isaiah chapter 40. And when you turn there to verse 22, a verse that ought to be highlighted. I read a book, a couple of them, that have stated facts and investigated it and checked it out quite well, that when Christopher Columbus sailed the world at the time, because what was the belief of that day? What was it? That the earth was what? Flat. However, Christopher Columbus, who knew his Bible, who our president doesn't know, in verse 22, it says in chapter 40, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the atoms thereof as grasshoppers, that stretches out the heavens of a curtain and spreadeth a mouth like a tent to dwell in." It was those words in the Holy Scriptures that caused that man, through the leading of the God of heaven, to take that journey, and America was discovered. I appreciate that so much. He also, when he came back to describe the discovery in Spain, he said these words, "Let the king and queen, the princes and their most fortunate kingdoms and all other countries of Christendom give thanks to our Lord and Savior," here it is, Jesus Christ, "who has bestowed upon us such a great victory and gift. Let religious processions be solemnized. Let festivals be given. Let the churches be covered with festive garlands. Let Christ rejoice on earth as he rejoiced in heaven. when he foresees coming to a salvation of so many souls. Praise the Lord for that. When the pilgrims discovered America, or when they came to America, didn't discover it, when they came to America, you know, the first official document was the Mayflower Compact. Have you heard that before? And when they signed this, it reads this. Here's that. We have forgotten what our heritage is. I like to go up to Washington, and I think everyone who's running for public office today ought to study their history before they're allowed to become, so they'll know where our fauna. It says, "In the name of God, amen, we whose names are underwritten, having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith." You hear what I just said? "In the advancement of the Christian faith and the honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern part of Virginia." You got that, Dr. Finch? There's your territory. "To plant that first colony in the northern part of Virginia, due by the present and solemn and mutual the presence of God, one another, a covenant combining together into a civil body." And so they realize that here we are. What are we here for? The spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many have ever heard what was called the old diluter law? Anyone here? Let me see your hand. If you're familiar with that, hold your hands up high if you're familiar with it. Are good. Some young people, that's good. That's good. You won't find that one taught in the public schools. As a matter of fact, you won't find that taught in some Christian curriculum that they have left it out. The old diluter law was basically clear. It says it is the chief, project of the old diluter, Satan. That's the old diluter. To keep from men from the knowledge of the scriptures and as in former times by keeping them in unknown tongues, it is therefore ordered that every township in the jurisdiction after the Lord hath increased them to 50 households shall forthwith appoint within the town to teach all children the scriptures. And how do they teach them? How do they teach the ABCs? Here it is. Would you try to do this today? A, in Adam all sin. B, heaven to be found, the Bible mine. C, Christ crucified for sinners died. How about that? So we recognize that. And then there were those, I think, of our forefathers who signed those 55 signatures on that document. There were only two of them that were deists. Did you know that? Most of them were believers and were members of churches and were men of God. And we recognize that. Matter of fact, in Pennsylvania, anyone here from Pennsylvania? It's changed since this time that I read here before you. But in Pennsylvania, I'll find it here. I just lost it when I looked up. How's that? In order to hold public office in Pennsylvania, one had to be a Christian. Today, you're better off, they want you to be an atheist and not a Christian. George Washington, the only man ever to occupy the presidency with the claim that he was chosen unanimously, had his prayer journal. And after he died, the prayer journal was found. And it says in his prayer journal, "Pardon, I beseech thee, I'll try it again. Pardon, I beseech thee, my sins, and remove them from my presence as far as the east is from the west, and accept for me the merits of thy Son, Jesus Christ." Hallelujah for those words. Thank the Lord for that. As a matter of fact, when he was commanding the army during the Revolutionary War, he said that none in the army should curse or gamble. And he did not, because that was considered a terrible sin. By the way, we need to pray for our chaplains today. Some of them are facing court-martials because of their faith, even though they're chaplains, but because they want to try to convert every one of their soldier boys to Jesus Christ. There was a time when that was allowed. Not anymore. I don't know if you're familiar with Harvard and Princeton and Yale. You all familiar with those great schools? You realize that all three of these schools, for example, the Harvard, how many know about Harvard? You're familiar with Harvard? You realize it was named after a minister of the gospel, Reverend John Harvard. Most people didn't know that. And He says the in 1643 that there was a decree that let every student be plainly instructed, earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ. Could you imagine Harvard doing that one today? Bring a Bible there, you'd be booed out without any reservation. Yale had a charter. It says, all scholars shall live religiously, godly, and blameless lives according to the rules of God's Word, diligently reading the Holy Scriptures, the fountain of light and truth. If any scholar shall deny the Holy Scriptures or any part of them to be the Word of God or be guilty of heresy after first and second admonition, he shall be expelled. They'd have to expel all of the faculty today if that be the case. Princeton, established in 1746, its first president was Reverend Jonathan Dickerson, said, cursed be all learning that is contrary to the cross of Christ. Wow. As you all know about the Revolutionary War, I don't think anybody here remembers it being there, but I think you've read a lot about the Revolutionary War. And for many years, the colonies, by the way, after these original 13 colonies, actually they were isolated from one another. And it was the Great Awakening that took place there and that caused the colonies to come back together. And son of Jonathan Edwards, the third president of Princeton, you remember that famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? How did he preach that? He was almost blind that he had to hold the manuscript up to his eye, and it said people were hanging onto the pews, thinking they were going to, they let go, they would slip into hell. And George Whitefield's preaching, I may have heard that name, I hope you have. His preaching brought colonies together, and when the King of England taxed heavily the tea in Boston, little did they know that all the colonies would band together. And that was a result of the Great Awakening. And how many are familiar with the Tea Party of today? Where'd they get that name? This is where they got it from, when the Tea Party. President John Adams said, the revolution could not have taken place without the religious background called the Great Awakening. He also said that the earnest difference between the American Revolution and the French Revolution is in its origin, one being religious and the other being against God. And there was quite a difference. When the nations were formed, John Adams, or the Declaration, he said he recommended that the colonies open in prayer. And a preacher who was elected, he read the 35th Psalm. Have you read the 35th Psalm? And it's a great psalm. It seems when he read that psalm as they were putting together the Declaration of Independence, when he read that psalm, it seems as though there was such a calmness over the delegates. I'm glad the Word of God still does that to our hearts, that it calms us. Our Declaration contains reference to God, Creator, and Supreme Judge. I'm thankful for that. By the way, you know that our government is a government that has three branches, doesn't it? Where do you think they got that idea from? How about Isaiah 33? Turn there with me. Where did we get that idea? And it's the only government with its three branches that I know of that is based on Scripture. When I come to Isaiah 33 and verse 22, he said, for the Lord is our judge. There is your judicial department. The Lord is our lawgiver, that's Congress, legislative branch, and the Lord is our king, that's the executive branch. However, I'm afraid right now we have a president who thinks he's king, and he will save us. The Lord, he's our king, he will save us. Not the president, but the Lord himself. And so we recognize that there is those branches of government. By the way, how many here have taken time to read the Constitution? Let me see our hands if you read the Constitution. Everybody needs to read it. If you read it, you would understand that the branch that has the most power of those three today, which one is? Anybody know? really the judicial. It has the smallest segment of information in the Constitution written about what it's supposed to do, and yet it would seem as though it would take page after page, wouldn't it? We recognize today there's such a difference. It is also interesting, if you read the Constitution, that the president has the 10 days in which to veto a bill. Did you know that? But those 10 days could not include a Sunday, because the Constitution recognized that that is a sacred day, and it would have to skip that day in its counting the 10 days. So even the Constitution recognized that day. It would be good, would it not, if our elected officials would just read that document. There's two documents, I think, that our government officials need to read. One of them is the Constitution. The other is the health care bill. If they did, they would vote it down. Already there's wondering if our country is not going into great crises yet to come when that is put into force. Matter of fact, they even put what was to take place in 2014 to 2015, because they're scared to death of what it's going to do to this country. We need to wake up. We need to pray for America. We need the right kind of American revolution. What is it? Turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. You're all familiar, aren't you? What is the answer? I don't have any hope in the government. My hope is in God. I hope yours is tonight. And here's the thing, and I exhort all of you. Number one, stay in your Bible. Stay close to the Lord. Extra reading ought to include your Constitution. I hope you've read that. I'm a history buff. Enjoy reading on sideline history. And if you've ever, and so you may say, Preacher, what are you reading this book for? If you ever read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, anyone here ever read that? It's over 1,000 pages, as you know. I read it the second time when I was in California. I found it in a used bookstore, didn't have my copy. And the first, Earl will verify it, the first 300 or 400 pages, you read that and you say, we're reliving it in America today. He's shaking his head, yes, in agreement. If you read those first 300 or 400, you realize what Hitler did then is what's taking place in our country today. And so America needs CPR. C, confess their sins. P, pray for forgiveness. And R, renew our fellowship with the Lord. That's CPR. America needs. I think that's what verse 14 is about. I'd like for us to get our Bibles out. I hope you brought it. Would you do that? I want us all to read that verse together. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Would you stand to your feet as we read it? I think it's a good thing to do. Now, I said I would get out around 8 o'clock, so those of you who want to get to the... what store is it where you get the bargains on ice cream? Sonic. You can get to the Sonic and get your half-priced ice cream. All right. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Would you all, beginning now, to read it? If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now realize, that's a great verse. That verse isn't for our government. That's verse for you and I. And we need to take seriously our relationship with the Lord. We need to remind everyone where this country was founded upon. We need to get back to the book. Somebody said, what is revival? Revival is simply being rebibled, getting back to this book, the basics. And my prayer is that we do that. Father, thank you for this service. Thank you for those tapes that I hope encouraged our heart. Thank you for the song that Dr. Scoville sang tonight. Thank you for the many visitors tonight that are here. We rejoice, Father, that we can come to Thee and rejoice. I pray tonight, Father, that even though we have a president and those are following him so many,